Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this, Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Already Wednesday, time is flying, folks. A happy hump day to you all. We've got a lot to get to on today's Current Sports, and it's a really trying time, as we all know. I feel like I say that every single time I open up the mic here on WKAR's Current Sports. There's so much going on in our world. COVID-19, of course, affecting sports schedules from here to Pluto. College football on hold at least for two of the Big Five. The NFL still resuming action and is at least going to try and give a season a go to begin. And then we have, of course, what is happening in America when it comes to racial inequality and another police shooting caught on camera. Thank goodness this young black man didn't die, but a shooting caught on camera that has sparked up protest here in America. And due to that, inspired athletes everywhere to speak up and try and bring more attention to racial injustice, especially as it pertains to the relationship that black people have with police. And it's just a wild time that we're living in, man. A really wild time. So the shooting of Jacob Blake, that is the young man's name, who was shot multiple times in Wisconsin. That shooting is actually, it actually inspired the Detroit Lions to cancel practice yesterday and speak up and speak out. So I want to talk about that. I'm going to touch upon that. I also want to talk about the rise of Paul George last night because, you know, PG-13 had certainly been struggling since the beginning of the playoffs, and he was getting a ton of criticism because of it. You know, where is playoff P? This is not a superstar player because he doesn't show up in the playoffs. They're paying him all this money and he doesn't show up when they really need him to. Well, last night he put all that bed and he addressed why. You know, why he was in that funk that he was in. And he talked about his mental health and how his mental health hasn't been up to par since he's been in the bubble. And I'm sure Paul George isn't the only player struggling with this. I mean, when you're being isolated from your family and friends and, you know, just focusing on your career and chasing a championship, yeah, that's fine and dandy for those who are really obsessed and are healthy mentally, obsessed about the game of basketball and healthy mentally to deal with something like this, and who have escapes that they can go to, healthy escapes that they can go to try and cope with this. But, you know, there are going to be many athletes like Paul George who are struggling with this and need some kind of mental therapy. And, you know, he addressed that, and it really, I really admire PG-13 for addressing, not only addressing it, but being so open about it. That took a lot of courage. That takes a lot of courage. So I do want to talk about that a bit as well. And then on the back end of the show, I'm going to touch upon, you know, some stories around college football. One in particular that centers on Texas Tech continuing to hold football practice despite COVID-19 cases rising. Does that make any sense? We're going to keep on practicing and essentially ignore what's happening here on campus with some of our players and COVID-19 cases going up. It makes absolutely no sense and really speaks to the ignorance that a lot of people have when talking about this pandemic. You know, we are months into it now. You know, 2020 has been really riddled with this story. And there are so many people that still do not take it serious and who just or just don't care, to be honest with you. Just do not care at all. So a lot to get to. We're going to get to all of that, folks. We are going to touch upon all of that. You know, sometimes I'm pubbing the show and, you know, due to time, you know, I may spend too much time on one topic, but I plan on hitting on all of those, and I will hit on all of those. All right, I promise. So if you, yes, you would like to be a part of today's current sports, you can pick up that phone, call us, and leave a voicemail. You won't be able to talk live because, again, I'm still rocking the show out of my living room. But you can call us, leave us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527, okay? You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can leave us a comment anywhere there. And you can even tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News, or you can tweet me directly at AlMartinWKAR. So for my longtime listeners out there, you guys know there are multiple ways in which you can weigh in, and you guys probably have the number on speed dial. Thank you guys so much. But for first-time listeners, please hit us up. I want to hear from you guys, all right? But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this hump day, August 26th. Okay, let's start here. Michigan State reported 3 more cases of COVID-19 on Tuesday among its student athletes who have returned to campus. So that's 3 more positive coronavirus cases. The latest round of testing, which took place last week, was done on 89 Spartan athletes. There were no positive results among 16 staff members tested. So no staff members, but 3 student athletes testing positive. MSU has conducted more than 890 tests this summer on athletes from a limited number of teams that returned to campus, including football and men's basketball. There have been 34 who tested positive for the coronavirus, which includes 2 who initially tested positive off campus and again when they retested on campus. So there have been 5 cases of COVID-19 among more than 250 tests on staff members. Fall classes will resume on September 2nd at Michigan State, although most of them will be done online. University President Samuel Stanley made that announcement last week. So fall classes, most, if not all, online, taking place on September 2nd. So 3 positive cases, 3 more positive cases for Michigan State. All right. Hours after his name was mentioned as a possible candidate for NBA openings, the head coach of the University of Michigan men's basketball program, Juwan Howard, he said thanks but no thanks. Michigan's head coach on Monday said that he is not pursuing NBA jobs after ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, Woj, he dropped a Woj bomb reporting that Howard's name was gaining traction among league executives. Howard said in a statement released through the school, quote, "There was a report of my name as a potential candidate for NBA coaching opportunities. While I am flattered and know it will more than likely happen again, I am not exploring, seeking, or listening. I am the head coach of the University of Michigan. I am blessed to be working at the greatest university in the world. I am blessed to be guiding a group of wonderful young men. We have goals, dreams, and championships to win. This is where my focus is. Go Blue." So there you have that, Juwan Howard. You know, I saw this floating around social media, and my good friend in the biz, my man Tom Crawford, you know, he put out an angry status as he reached out. I don't know if he reached out to Tom Weirich, who is the head SID at the University of Michigan, or if Tom reached out to him. But regardless, Tom Crawford said that Tom Weirich said that, look, there's no truth to it. He's not leaving, blah, blah, blah. And then this statement comes out. But Tom Crawford was very annoyed that these rumors were surfacing, and that Juwan Howard's name was being named as a possible candidate for an NBA head coaching job. But look, you know, I always say this: when you talk about college sports and college coaches, you know, you better believe that many of these college coaches have or had professional coaching dreams. Certainly. And, you know, I know Juwan Howard, you know, I'm pretty sure that's part of his bucket list. Despite that statement, you know, I'm pretty sure that's on the resume. You know, that's something he would like to add to the resume, excuse me. So, and it's a good thing. I mean, this is what I always say as well. You know, when that whole fiasco went down with Tom Izzo and his name being linked to the Cleveland Cavaliers as the possible head coach there, and there was this huge fiasco. I remember I was in college at the time when that was happening. I believe I was a sophomore in college when those rumors were swirling around. And it's a compliment when your head coach at your college is being rumored as a possible candidate, as a prospect in the professional ranks. Because obviously that coach must be doing something right. Obviously that coach must be winning, or you see some kind of potential there. It's a good thing. You know, you should be worried if your head coach is not being named anywhere, if nobody wants him. So, you know, Juwan Howard must be doing something right as the head coach, as the head man in charge of the Maize and Blue men's basketball hoop squad. All right. The Detroit Lions canceled practice on Tuesday to protest the shooting of Jacob Blake by police in Kenosha, Wisconsin. They addressed reporters as a team in front of their building to deliver a message that they will be a part of the change in the United States against police brutality. Three Lions players, safety Duron Harmon, defensive end Trey Flowers, and offensive tackle Taylor Decker, all three addressed the media to explain their decision and to share why, when they entered the building on Tuesday, they felt football wasn't as important as speaking out and sending a message that what happened to Blake and many others in this country is not okay. This is what Harmon said, quote, "As a team, we looked at each other in the eyes and realized that football isn't important today. We have a platform that we are able to use not just to raise awareness, but to create change." And look, folks, and I'm going to expound upon this more in just a moment. For those who don't like seeing their sports intertwine with politics and news, well, I got one thing to say to you. Those days are long gone, and you better get used to it or find some kind of soap opera or TV show or movie to watch. Because these athletes are not afraid to speak up anymore. They are using their platforms to spark change and to raise awareness, and I absolutely love it. More on that in just a moment, all right? Okay, and also, you know, another story that adheres right to that story that you just heard about the Detroit Lions, the Toronto Raptors, they held a team meeting before yesterday's practice to discuss how they could respond to the shooting of Jacob Blake by police in Wisconsin, including potentially not playing against the Boston Celtics in Game 1 of a second-round playoff series, which begins tomorrow. This is what Toronto Raptors guard Fred VanVleet said after Tuesday's practice inside the NBA's bubble at the Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando, Florida. Quote, "We knew coming here or not coming here was not going to stop anything. But I think ultimately playing or not playing puts pressure on somebody. I know it's not that simple. But at the end of the day, if we're going to sit here and talk about making change, then at some point we are going to have to put our blank on the line and actually put something up to lose rather than just money or visibility. I'm just over the media aspect of it. It's sensationalized. We talk about it every day. That's all we see. But it just feels like a big pacifier to me." Fred VanVleet with some very, very candid comments there. And you got to realize, the Toronto Raptors also just had a team meeting in a major conversation about the release of that footage of team president of basketball operations, Masai Ujiri, and his altercation with a police officer just moments before the trophy presentation, donning the Toronto Raptors as the 2019 NBA champions of the world. Masai Ujiri, a black man who has worked so hard to get to where he is right now, accomplishing the biggest accomplishment of his career, being pushed and shoved, cursed at by a police officer moments before that trophy presentation. And they're still processing that. You know, and the police officer just blatantly lying, that police department having the back of that police officer. If you missed my show on that, it's on our website at WKAR.org, and I go more into detail of that. But they're just processing that. And then you have the shooting of Jacob Blake. And thank goodness this young man did not lose his life. But he shot in front of his kids who are in the backseat of that vehicle. And then I see today that there was a white man who decided to bring a firearm to the protests in Wisconsin, and he ended up killing a couple of people. Caught on camera. And the police, when they see this man, they really did nothing at the time. He walked right by two big police vehicles. I just don't get it, man. But more on that in just a moment. But the Toronto Raptors and the Detroit Lions having conversations that many athletes and many teams out there are having due to the shooting of Jacob Blake. Okay, the Detroit Tigers, they ended up beating the Chicago Cubs last night as Jonathan Schoop hit a grand slam in a 5-run sixth inning as the Tigers beat the Cubs 7-1 last night. The Tigers have won 3 of 5 since a 9-game losing streak dropped them out of serious postseason contention. Chicago still leads the NL Central despite going 5-8 in its last 13 games. Spencer Turnbull, who is 3-2 on the year, he picked up the win with 5 2/3 scoreless innings of work. He allowed 3 hits and walked 3 while striking out 5. In his previous start, he only lasted 2 innings, walking 4 batters. The teams conclude their 3-game series tonight at 7:10 p.m. with Chicago's John Lester against Michael Fulmer. John Lester is 2-1 on the year, and Michael Fulmer 0-0. All right. The NBA playoffs, yesterday's slate, just 2 games. Denver ended up beating Utah in what was an incredibly entertaining game. You know, I put out there last night that I really wish that this series could go to 16 games and not just a 7-game slate. I hope it goes to 7 games. Right now, Utah, with that loss to Denver last night, Utah still leads the series 3-2. And watching Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell go at it is just I mean, it's the best thing in sports right now. You know, those two going at it, you know, Jamal Murray, that pure shooting stroke that he has. He had that Michael Jordan-esque 360 driving to the lane layup that had me jumping out my seat and screaming at my TV. I couldn't believe what I had just seen. But then Donovan Mitchell with that drive and dunk over three different Denver Nuggets players who were in the vicinity. I mean, and I believe that the guy that he really dunked on in that on that play was Michael Porter Jr. I mean, but he cocked it back and just it was the best dunk of the NBA bubble. But watching those two young stars go at it, I mean, the future of the NBA is in good hands, and they are so fun to watch. So we'll see if Denver can get another one to push it to a game seven. We'll see if that happens tomorrow. And then, as I mentioned, you know, playoff P showed up as the Los Angeles Clippers beat the Dallas Mavericks 154-111. It is amazing looking at the final scores of each and every one of these games in the bubble. I mean, scoring is at an all-time high right now. But 154-111 in favor of the Clips, as the Clips now lead that series as well, 3-2. All right, in the NHL playoffs, yesterday we saw the Tampa Bay Lightning beat the Boston Bruins 4-3. That series is all knotted up at one game apiece. That one went to overtime. And the Vancouver Canucks beat the Las Vegas Golden Knights 5-2. That series is also tied up at one game apiece. Today you've got three games starting at 3 p.m., all on the NBC Sports Network, as the New York Islanders will take on Philadelphia, the Flyers, at 3 p.m. And then at 8 p.m., you got the Tampa Bay Lightning. That series resuming against the Boston Bruins at 8 p.m. That's a puck drop of 8 p.m. there. And at 10:30 p.m., the final game of the NHL playoff slate for tonight, we'll see the Colorado Avalanche take on the Dallas Stars. And, you know, going back real quick to the NBA playoffs, you know, I mentioned, you know, playoff P finally showing up as Paul George in that L.A. Clippers win over the Dallas Mavericks last night. Paul George ended up scoring 30-plus points, but a lot of people have been very critical of him, including myself, because he has really not shown up since the playoffs began. And if he did show up, I mean, I really don't believe that the Mavericks would even have two games right now, and this series may be over. But he revealed, in talking with Jared Greenberg after the game, that he was, quote, in a dark place. Quote, he says, it was just a little bit of everything. I underestimated mental health. Honestly, I had anxiety, a little bit of depression. Just being locked in here, I just wasn't there. I checked out. Games 2, 3, 4, I wasn't there. I felt like I wasn't there. Shout out to the people that were in my corner that gave me words. They helped big time, helped me get right, get back in great spirits. I can't thank them enough. And for three playoff games, George had an intense spotlight on that slump. On social media, he was relentlessly ridiculed by critics for his playoff struggles as he shot 10 for 47, folks, in games 2, 3, and 4, including missing 21 of 25 shots from behind the three-point arc. According to Elias Sports Bureau, George was the first player to shoot under 25% in three straight playoff games since Bob Cousy did so back in 1960 on a minimum of 10 field goal attempts per game. So it was really good to see Paul George get out of that slump. But again, there is an added conversation that certainly needs to be had as it pertains to how these players are dealing with being stuck in this bubble and just focusing on basketball. You got to do something to just relieve the stress of it, because it can be stressful. And I know a lot of players, you know, that was a really cool article being put out by, I believe it was, I don't want to say the publication and just guess the publication. I might have to look it up and probably bring it to you guys tomorrow. But just how big the game of golf is becoming for so many players, and how it's a big stress reliever right now. And at the Walt Disney World Sports Resort that they're at, you know, that resort has a few golf courses. Must be nice, right? And there's nobody there except the NBA players, so they can play like unlimited golf whenever they feel like it. I mean, if they're not practicing, you can just grab your clubs and go and play golf. How amazing is that? So I know players like, you know, Andre Iguodala, Jason Tatum just actually took up the game. So he's been out there playing as well. Kyle Lowry is a pretty good golfer. He shoots in the 80s, like Al Woods. So it's just really cool, you know, just to see how players are dealing with this. But there are some that are really struggling and don't have that outlet that they can go to. So I'll elaborate more on that in just a moment, okay? But that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, if you would like to be a part of the show, you can call us and leave us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And you can also tweet us. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. When we come back from our first break, I'll talk about sports and politics, sports and social change, and how the two, right now and for the foreseeable future, are always going to intertwine. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Wednesday Hump Day edition of Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And, you know, I'm feeling heavy again today, folks. Can't lie. You know, during this time, it's really, really tough because we're all trying to stay safe. We are all trying to keep our heads in good places while doing so. And so many people are going through some really trying things. You know, I feel like I'm talking to at least one person a week. Yeah, that's how frequent it is for me, who is being affected by the pandemic in a really tough way due to a lack of employment. I know multiple people who have lost their jobs, who are trying to find work, and are, you know, have had to file for unemployment. It's just really tough. So you throw that into the equation, that we are in the midst of the pandemic, and then you add into that pot, you know, what we're seeing with racial inequality here in our nation, it just makes things 10 times worse. And, you know, I've always said I'm going to address these issues head on because they have a direct tie to our sporting world today. Also, I am a black man living here in America, and these are conversations that we need to have as a society. You know, when the killing of George Floyd took place, that really was the spark that lit the match of the countless protests that we saw and still continue to see here in America. You know, we addressed it here on Current Sports and we didn't shy away, and I was very candid in my thoughts and feelings, and this is something I have to let be known. You know, it's not like those protests of George Floyd, even though so many people came out and protested and posted different statuses of how they were going to support. And, you know, it sparked up this movement of us supporting black businesses and just being more in tune with what is happening here in America. When it comes to people who just, you know, have been discriminated against for years upon years. But when all of that happened and those conversations took place and continue to take place, it's not like it's just going to stop, because there are still so many racist people that live in our country. And unfortunately, a lot of them have on police uniforms. But not only that, when it comes to the situation, the conversation of law enforcement dealing with people of color in ways that are so unnerving, there are other layers to that aspect as well. There are a lot of officers who wear those police uniforms who have no idea what it's like to live as a black male or female in America. You don't understand us. You only understand or think you understand based on what you watch on TV on a daily basis or see in movies or conversations you've had amongst your other white friends and buddies. So when you get into a quote unquote intense situation, you are really quick to pull out that gun and hit that trigger. And because of that, frankly, there are a lot of police officers who don't need to wear that badge. You're not ready. Either that or you're just blatantly racist. So because of this, again, these are conversations that I have with my fellow black brothers and sisters on a weekly basis as we try and figure this thing out. But what I love, and again, feel free to tune me out if you're so tired of hearing about this. Go ahead and flip that dial right now. Because you can try to ignore it. You can try. When you listen to sports talk radio shows out there, doesn't even have to be mine. I bet a lot of them, most of them, 90% of them, are talking about the shooting of Jacob Blake and the ripple effect that shooting is having on the sports world, because no longer gone are the days where you can sit back and separate your sports talk radio from what's happening in politics, from what's happening in the news, because it has gotten to a point where athletes are getting fed up, especially black athletes who make up the majority of the sports that are the most popular here in America that you love, football and basketball. Most of those athletes have black skin. Most of those athletes who you love and adore, who you get your popcorn ready for on a daily basis, most of those athletes are black. And no longer will they sit back and not say anything, because they know, like I know, Jacob Blake, George Floyd, Philando Castile, Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, Sandra Bland, they know any one of those names could have been theirs. And it is one incredibly scary thing. LeBron James opened up about it after the LA Lakers topped the Portland Trailblazers now, what, two nights ago. And he just noted that, look, I don't know what side of the bed that cop or whatever cop may wake up on, whether it's the right or wrong side, or if a cop wakes up and just says that it's going to be a bad day for some black person out there when he puts on that uniform. That's how we feel. It's gotten to the point for me Well, I get nervous. Whenever I'm driving and I see a police vehicle, especially one behind me, I get a little nervous. Can't lie to you guys. That's just, those kind of things, and that kind of mentality is just another day of being a black male here in America. It's tough, man. And I applaud athletes who are speaking up and using their platforms for change. And this is why, you know, this is why Kyrie Irving, you know, he really led this charge. Kyrie Irving of the Brooklyn Nets, you know, when the NBA talked about coming back and they were having these meetings about coming back. I mean, Kyrie Irving was the player leading the charge. And, you know, you had others like Dwight Howard, who is playing right now for the Lakers. But other players saying, yeah, you're right. You know, we shouldn't be focusing on playing a game. We should continue to use our platforms to try and spark change. And Kyrie Irving decided to sit out because of that. And right now, you're seeing why. You know, these athletes, I mean, the Toronto Raptors, as I mentioned in our headliners, the Toronto Raptors were actually thinking about boycotting and not playing against the Boston Celtics on Thursday to send a message to get people to think. Because the majority of the NBA is black. And this hits home so much for them. And looking at, you know, that video of Jacob Blake being shot from behind multiple times. And again, thank goodness he's still alive. But according to his father, you know, he is at least temporarily paralyzed from the waist down. You know, these athletes are sitting there thinking, you know, this could be my son. This could be my daughter. This could be me. You know, this hits home for them. You know, and then you know, I love the unity that's being shown, though, in the NBA. Because, you know, those who aren't white but are employed by the NBA dollar, like Denver Nuggets coach Mike Malone, he noted on Monday that, you know, it was the 1 year anniversary of the death of Elijah McClain, the 23-year-old who was killed by police on a walk home from a convenience store out in Colorado. You know, he spoke up and said that, yeah, we need to talk about these things. You know, every emotion these players are feeling is real. And there are going to be some people who don't like it. But, you know, that's what MLK always preached, man. Who cares about those people? Who cares about their opinion on not wanting to see people with big platforms use their platforms to talk about social injustice? Who cares about them? It's not about them. It's about doing what you can with that platform to possibly change the minds. Or the mind. It could just be one of some individual out there who has a heart filled with hate. And who has never even tried to sympathize with the black experience in these United States of America. The Detroit Lions, they boycotted yesterday's practice. And the entire Lions organization supported them in that. That's what it's all about. All right, real quick here, before I hit this first break, I do want to give mad props to Paul George. because also in the black community, we have another problem. And I'm really talking to my black males out there, because we don't like to talk about mental health. We think it's taboo. We don't want to talk about therapy. It's becoming more and more of a conversation, though, and I love it. Because as black men, we go through so much, and we just are taught to just put it aside, be strong. Don't address it. You know, you got to be there. You got to be the alpha male, right? And more and more, we're seeing black males not afraid to be vulnerable. And Paul George, whether he realizes it or not, I'm sure that there were some black men out there who were watching last night's game and watching his post-game press conference and listening to Paul George address his battle with anxiety and depression within the bubble and saying to themselves, wow, Paul George is going through that? This multi-million dollar athlete who's got his life set up for the rest of his life because of all the millions and millions of dollars he's making from playing the game of basketball, he's dealing with depression, something I may be going through? Other black men are watching that who are going through those same things are saying, wow, if he can battle through it, I can. So I just want to address that and say, you know, Paul George, thank you for opening up, because there are so many black males that I talk to who are going through depression and anxiety and don't know how to deal with it. And sometimes they just find comfort in knowing, you know, in anything that we go through as human beings, there is comfort in knowing that you aren't the only one in that battle. You're not alone, because during trying moments in life, you do feel like you are the only one going through it, which makes it 10 times worse. So thank you, Paul George. And man, did he have a game last night, right? Balled out. And the Clippers, yes, are still my NBA Finals pick. I am hurt that tonight when the Lakers have the opportunity to put to bed the Portland Trailblazers, Dame Dalla, Damian Lillard, who may be like my favorite player in the league now, he won't be playing in that game because of a strained right knee. Yeah, he's got a knee sprain. He won't be playing. Yeah, it's a right knee sprain, and he won't be playing, listed as out. In the Lakers, they played a flawless game, didn't they? I mean, on Monday night, they were flawless. LeBron James was amazing, you know, dishing a ball and scoring that crazy reverse layup he had in transition. Anthony Davis, who is the key to all of this, Anthony Davis just completely from the get-go was a monster on both ends of the floor. They couldn't contain him. You know, Hassan Whiteside and, you know, Yusuf Nurkic tried to do what they could do, but, you know, not having Zach Collins really hurt this team for sure. But the Lakers were so locked in from the get-go. And, you know, on Mamba Day, right, Kobe Bryant Day, wearing the black Mamba jerseys, you know, Kobe was in the building. When I saw that the score was 24-8 at one point, I said it was destiny. Kobe Bryant's in the building. There's no way that the Lakers are losing this game. So shout out to Dame Dalla, though, because – He certainly was the player in the NBA bubble prior to the playoffs. So, been unfortunate for the Portland Trail Blazers. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's current sports. I'll talk to you guys about what's happening with with Texas Tech. And how they are saying, all right, yeah, we may have a lot of active COVID-19 cases, but hey, we're still going to practice. Who cares? Yeah, we'll come back with that story. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Folks, current sports listeners, do we really believe that the conferences who are still in the college football game right now and who have not canceled fall football, do we really believe that we're going to get through an entire college football season without some kind of shutdown? Do we really believe that? You know, again, they're not in a bubble. And you're playing different schools. There's going to be travel involved. And we're already seeing many cases, many outbreaks at different programs, including one at Texas Tech. As Texas Tech continues to conduct practices despite 21, yes, 21 active COVID-19 cases within the football program. What? Does that make any sense? Now, those who have tested positive, of course, they have to self-quarantine, but practices move on. And since athletes began returning to campus since the middle of June, 1,382 tests have been administered to athletes, 64 positive cases. Of those positive cases, 24 still remain, with 21 within the football program. I mean, I just don't understand it. If you have that kind of an outbreak, you would think that the program would say, we can't do this. The Big 12 season is set to kick off in less than 3 weeks. Football is a high-risk sport. You're playing other schools who are in their respective campus bubbles, but they're all of these football players aren't in one bubble. Ah, boy, I just don't understand it, man. It just blows me away. And I just can't wait, because it's going to happen. I will guarantee this. You will not see a college football season get through game one all the way to that final game without some kind of major stoppage this fall. It is mission impossible. I dare you to argue with me. We can have that conversation on the airwaves. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number that you can call and leave us a voicemail at. I want to hear from you guys in this. Is there anyone out there that really believes that we are going to get through a college football year without any stoppage from the beginning of the season to the end, flawlessly? I would love to hear from you. I want to hear the reasoning behind it, because those who I have talked to away from the show have not really given me a reason that I buy into that makes me say, oh, I never thought about that. Okay, you got a chance. I just don't get it. And right now, it's ludicrous to me. These other conferences like the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, they want to make sure they get that mighty dollar or some of that mighty dollar. It's all about money. There will be huge losses if they don't at least attempt playing the game of college football. They're already losing money because of ticket sales. There won't be any fans limited. There won't be any fans, I should say, allowed in these stadiums. So, I don't know, man. It's crazy to me. But Texas Tech, sheesh. Yeah, read about that. Google that later on today. 21 active COVID-19 cases within the program. All right, folks. That's all I got for you today. We'll be back at it on the Thursday edition of the show. Again, weigh in for those who leave voicemails. I'll roll those in on tomorrow's show. But until then, folks, we are now on a 23-hour break. Please be safe, be smart, and be easy, people.